After these things, the Lord appeared unto the 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place wherewith he himself would come. Therefore he saith unto them,
Brigadala usta prepete prepecicatele rubadas tangron duste prepete iste. Ganna andi blute brimiduste blopapa de bruste candela hambron standi ishikitaha.
Ooh, there's a level. Amen. There is a level. There is a level of the Holy Spirit and Holy Spirit communication. Amen. That we can have from God, that God's trying to take us there. And because we have been trained in the ways of God and trained in the Spirit of God, we can communicate to one another on that level and have God do some things that he wanted to do and say some things that he wanted to say. And after these things, the Lord appeared unto the 70 and sent them two and two before his face to every city and place, whether he himself would come. 70. He said, therefore, he saith unto them, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse, nor scrip, nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And into whatsoever house ye enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. Somebody say, if not, it shall turn to you again. Somebody say, if the Son of Peace abides there. Why would he say if the Son of Peace abides there? You know that each one of us has a life that God has granted to us, and on each one of our lives is an assignment from the Holy Ghost. And there's a mission and something that God wants to, amen, do with your life and through your life. And he said, when he created everything, he said, be fruitful and multiply. God wants us to have a fruitful, abundant life, and one that brings forth fruit acceptable unto God. And in the Word, it teaches us how to be fruitful unto the Holy Ghost and unto God. And these are some ways in which that we can be fruitful. Top of your thing is say how to minister to a city. The first assignment is this: if the Son of Peace be there. Circle that in your Bible. Many people don't focus there. They've got to understand that a lot of times ministry is not effective in a place, not as a result of what's in the ministry or within the minister, but what's in the house before the minister gets there. The condition of a location affects what the anointing will do when it gets there. Notice that there were certain cities that Jesus went into. His anointing was still powerful, was still strong, but in many places he went, he could there not do many mighty works because of his lack of power. Because of his lack of ability to understand the people that was in that city. Because of who? Their unbelief. There is a responsibility of a specific location. I've been praying and searching. I just pray and talk to the Holy Ghost, amen, without panic. You get what I'm saying? Just talking to the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost will speak over certain issues and speak over certain things. And you know what you do? You listen to him and obey whatever he tells you. And of course, anybody in their right mind would pray in a circumstance in regard to this house and in regard to this ministry. regard to my life and to many of the lives that are entrusted to me. And praying over the city, and the Holy Ghost said, first of all, if the Son of Peace abides there. What do you mean, Brother Ron, if the Son of Peace abides there? Those apostles or those disciples before, how many of you are ministers? How many of you are ministers? Now, this is a message to ministers as well, and this is a message to Nathan's church as well. You're going to be sent out, and you are sent out to do certain things, amen, but where you go, you got to find out where to go and where to minister and where to put down your stake. Brother Osteen used to tell those saints at Lakewood before they started to go out, many of them went out to work. He said, you better follow peace. Somebody say, follow peace. There's got to be a peace. And I'm not just talking about quiet and calm and everybody getting along. Peace. I mean, peace at times means a piece of something. Amen. Somebody say something to work with. Amen. Amen. First of all, there's got to be something to work with. He said, if the Son of Peace abides there. And that's where we got a concern. This is what we need to think about in our city and in the nation's church ministry. We have a responsibility about nation's church. This is a good work and this is a good house. Amen. In order for a work like this to be in a city like this, amen, there must be peace someplace. Because we have to be proper stewards of what God has entrusted to us. God will be back certainly, amen. And we want to get out with some fruit. And you got to realize that the ministry that's within you is meant to be mixed with something that is in the place that you are to be and the place that you're to go. That means that the ministry within me, the peace of God that's within me, amen, I need to search out the peace of God here. And if that peace gets there, you mix your face with their face and something can happen. Now that word peace goes with this. Peace would mean quietness and rest. At times, there is a labor of ministry. At times, there are certain things you need to battle through. There are things you need to work through. There are certain things you need to work through and cast out devils and rebuke things and change the mindset. Now, if there are spiritual principalities, deal with that and get those devils out of the way. But if these are human spirits, you don't deal with that stuff, amen, you better preach the word and they have to change their mind. If they refuse to change their mind, you got to do something. And if you start to keep going on when somebody refuses to change their mind and their mindset, you would become a sorcerer or a witch, because then you'd have to operate in a spirit of control. Don't you think Jesus had the ability to make those people have faith and to make those people believe? Well, when he went into those cities, why didn't he do it? Why? Because there's a certain thing he wouldn't do. Amen. He wouldn't flow like that. Amen. He limited what he would do according to where they were. And if they wouldn't go to a certain level before he would change them, by control and witchcraft and do all these other things, he would just move right on. God has always got a backup file somewhere. You just do what God wants to do. He'll work it out. He's got a backup file. Some of you have been in some situations. You've been dealing with some clients. You do all you can do and you stand there. Amen. And you stay in the Word and that thing still doesn't work out after you've been in the Word or whatever it is. God's got a backup file someplace. That word means peace. What does that mean? I mean, God, it's not God's will for you always to be going through. I mean, you have to find it. It's meant for ministry to dwell in peace. Behold how good and lovely it is when brethren can dwell there together in unity and in peace. So peace has got to be something that can happen for God to do what he wants to do. That word peace also means shalom. Somebody said prosperity. That means that there's got to be there, amen, somebody willing to hear the word and be prospered and bring that prosperity back into the house after they hear the word for God to do what he wants to do. God needs somebody to work with. And you got to have that discernment inside you that he can get involved with. Why do you think God said, don't throw your pearl before swine? He was trying to teach ministers, disciples, amen, and people that are going out to do something, that there is a Holy Spirit discernment. And you're not going to be able to win everybody. And you're not going to be able to reach everybody. And you can't beat yourself up. Tear yourself up, amen. Question God and change God by what somebody else does. He said, listen, what you got is precious. It'll work. You got to know what you're dealing with. Know your covenant. Don't throw your pearl before swine. If there is something, see, you are meant. There are certain people that have a mindset to do better. They might have hang-ups. You know, you some people are just held captive for a season and for a while, and they just got a problem, but if you minister to that problem, it'll go away, and you can heal that thing, and they'll be okay. Amen. And you got to know how to discern which one, once they come out of that, won't go back, and which one will. He said, if the Son of Peace abide there, let your peace remain with it. That means if there's favor there. Say the word favor again. You got to have the favor of God. Then you can do certain things. If the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. Mix your peace with their peace. Mix what you got with what they got. And that's how God works it. Well, in this city, we got the peace of the Holy Ghost, the joy of the Spirit, the flow of the Spirit, something. Hopefully you go someplace, God would send you someplace to take something to them that they don't have already. God's not going to take you someplace to do what somebody else can do. Paul, you know, when y'all go out to minister in places and do stuff, you're not going to go. Don't go nowhere else where you're just a repeat and a carbon copy of what's already there. Paul said he's not going to go anywhere and lay a foundation on anybody else's work unless he labor in vain. He's going to go and try to do something nobody else can do. Amen. Well, that's the same thing with this ministry. We're here in the city. Why aren't we repeating everybody else? They don't need it. They need somebody to come and do something that nobody else can do, would do, or wants to do, or is afraid to do. Amen. Amen. And we do it here because out of this geographic location is something, there's a piece of God that he's planted within this group of people, within this city, and within this geographic area that only they can put up. And we mix our faith together and affect the world. See, it's not always just, hey, just dump it all right here and leave it all here. Somebody say, no, we're here to pick it up and take it on. Say, we're here to bring it in, mix it up, and take it on. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. And if not, it shall turn to you again. If there's no peace there, return it to yourself. It will turn back to you. Somebody say, hold it. Somebody say, don't waste it. And if that wasn't something that we'd be confronted with in our life, it wouldn't be in the Word. He knew. And he put it in the Word for us to learn about it. Luke chapter 10, verse 7. And in the same house remain eating and drinking such again as they give you. For the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. What does that mean? Go not from house to house. Well, that means you don't have to go running from this place to that place. This is the house. This is the house. That means if you go not from city to city and all this other stuff, amen, if this is where God's got you, this is where you are, amen. Amen. D.C. don't have to pay for the Woodlands. Amen. Columbia, Maryland don't have to pay for the Woodlands. Amen. Dallas don't have to pay for the Woodlands. Lakewood doesn't have to pay for the Woodlands. Amen. Don't go running from place to place. Brother Osteen said every pot must burn on its own fire. Well, it's the same thing for your ministry and our ministry. Amen. It's got to burn on itself. There's some peace in this city. I'm not putting it on us. We're a team, people. We got to learn how to handle this and what we can put our faith to and expect. And see, we are the workers. All of us together corporately are the workers. But we got to say, hey, there's a peace in that city someplace, amen, that this pot can burn on. And it's God's will that that's what it burns on. Now, if it's Texas, if it's oil, it'll burn on oil. When Jesus went to certain cities, the widows and the women in the city, they ministered unto Jesus of their substance. Amen. So whatever's in the city is what that ministry is meant to be footed on. If it's technology, guess what? That's what needs to foot it in that city. If it's auto work, guess what? That's what needs to foot it in that city. If it's purple, Ladies that had cloth or purple in the Bible, that's what footed that house in that city. Let your peace mix with its peace. Go not from house to house. And into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as they set before you. Don't worry about being blessed there. That means it's God's mindset. When you go someplace, they literally, you got to learn how to receive Jesus. You got to learn how to receive the anointing. You got to receive how to receive the Holy Ghost and how to receive things. Businesses come to a town. Businesses come to a city. The chamber and different things. They go out there and say, please come over here. When Mercedes-Benz was looking to come to America, the city that I lived in, we whined and dined them to get that business in that city. Well, we need to get the same way about the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Yes. And about different ministries and different churches. We got to find out what makes a city and what breaks a city. Amen. You know, we want compact. We want whatever to come to the Woodlands. Glory to God. You got to say, hey, we need an anointing in this place. Man should not live by bread and money alone. We need the Holy Ghost. Yes. A city has a responsibility to receive a ministry. God wants to do it, amen, but they got to want to have it done. Amen. There should not be a ministry in a city where it's not received. I mean, you shouldn't have to be kicking against the pricks and fighting this one. You got to put the word out there, amen, and you can't accuse a city until the word gets out there either, amen. Sit up here and say, the city didn't receive me. They didn't even know you were over there, brother. Come on. Now, receive means to accept what goes on there. And he says, now, if they accept you, or if they receive you, in Luke chapter 10, verse 9, heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom is upon you. When they start to receive and accept, they get an upgrade of anointing. There's an introduction to ministries. There's an introduction to ways of the Holy Ghost. He puts it out there and says, there it is, receive it. And all they say, well, I'll take it. And after they take it and after they receive it, it gets better. He said, then you heal the sick that are in the place, amen, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is unto you. But into whatsoever city you enter and they receive you not, what happens when you go into a place and the ministry is not received? Somebody say, what do you do? Somebody say, what do you do? Somebody say, next step. People refuse to walk by the word, and they wonder why ministries die. They wonder why we don't have revival in our nation. We wonder why we don't have a revival on the world. People don't want to do the word. The next step is take it to the streets. I believe if they don't receive you, I believe that thing called if they don't receive you, that means if they don't receive you, who's going to receive you? The brothers and sisters there. Those that are supposed to be doing it. Those that are supposed to know. If they don't receive it and they don't embrace it, then it's the responsibility of that ministry to take it to the street. Then there's a responsibility to take it to a city and make it plain. Some say make it real clear. That's next step. You know, many people just want to make it just real presentable. They try to make themselves look like everybody else. No. At that point, the anointing says, listen, when God's ready to do something, when God says, hey, look, you're almost there. I'm given to do this. You go and you make it real clear. You tell them exactly what you're there to do and make it real clear. Amen? Yes. You know, you get to the point, I've come here to heal you, period. Yes. Do you want it? Yes or no? Amen. God gets like that. At times you sit up here and try to teach somebody, convince somebody to get straight to the point. Do you want to live or die? Yes. I mean, it literally gets to that point. He gets blunt with it. Amen? What do you want? This is what I came to do. Take it or leave it and let me go on and do what God told me to do. Somebody say glory to God. I'm not here to mess with you. The Holy Ghost gets that way. We're not here to play games. I mean, we're here to do business. Glory to God. This is what we're here to do. You know, you got to get there and say, and it's the same thing with me. It's the same thing with this church. We're here to build a house. We're here to build a church. Amen. Somebody say glory to God. Not attempt, not to try to do it. We're here to do it. Said, take it to the streets and make it real clear. I'm here so you can shout and dance. I'm here so you can get your Holy Ghost groove on. I'm here because a lot of people aren't speaking in tongues anymore, and you need to speak in tongues. We're here because there's revelation knowledge pouring throughout all the world. Amen. God is moving things. Amen. And you can have it. And that's why it's there. Somebody say clear. He said, if they don't receive you, then you need to make it. Say it one more time, but real clearly. Say it one more time and make it real clear this time. Say it one more time. Present yourself to the city one more time and make it real clear. Somebody say, take it to the streets real clear. And they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets in the same, and say, even the very dust of this city. You better get that way. It's okay to get that way. Somebody say, dust. Somebody say, dust ministry. I tell you what. I'm not saying you pack up, amen, but you got to have in your mindset. You got to have in your mindset. Somebody say, God will not always strive with man forever. Somebody say, amen. Amen. Say, this is what we're here to do. Like, God wants to do it here. We want to do it here. We're going to make it real clear. Amen. I said, if you don't accept this thing, glory to God, we're going to pack it up and chuck the dust. Somebody say, amen. Amen. Say, you'd rather have me than the dust. God does that. He does that. Somebody say, you'd rather have what God wants to do or eat my dust? Now, you know that's happened to this city before. Now, we're not saying we're doing anything to the house. Somebody say, glory to God. But we got to preach the word that the Holy Ghost tells us to preach and make it sure it's clear in the word so we can see it in the word. Amen. Samar came here right back in 19, right around 1901, 1903. Samar came here. Amen. What went on? Did anybody remember the Azusa Street Revival? He came here to have revival. Amen. But tradition and customs and religion and all those things prevented God. Their tradition prevented what God wanted to do. They said, brother, if you were white, we would accept this and it can go on and flow. I mean, somebody, you know that the entire Pentecostal revival was meant to happen right here in this very city? And they couldn't have a church meeting because they wouldn't let him get out of the hallway. But he couldn't come to the front. He had to stay in the hallway. Brother Seymour said, forget this. Watch my dust. He got on a plane or whatever he was and went out to California. Somebody say amen. Went into a building about the same dimensions of this one before we made the extension. Had a revival of the Holy Ghost that touched the world. That thing went on for 4 years straight. They were seeing thousands of people on a daily basis. The Holy Ghost fell. Anybody ever heard of the Azusa Street Revival that went throughout all the world? He said, don't worry about it. God's got a backup file someplace. Amen. They went out there and went on and did what God wanted them to do. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody say, accept and receive. You got to realize, what is the reason why people don't receive ministry? People don't receive it? Customs and traditions. God's not considering your custom and your tradition. He don't care. And he doesn't tailor make his anointings. You got to grow into his suit. You got to grow into his shoes. I'll take the anointing, but you have to customize it to my culture. He ain't worried about your culture. You have to customize. You have to, if you, brother, you're going to minister in Texas, you got to customize. It's got to be a Texan anointing. Same thing. Brother Ron, brother, if you got to come, if you're going to go to Maryland, you got to have a Maryland anointing. Ain't nobody worried about your stuff. God's out. He's out to close it down. Not to customize it. We need it to fit in. We need it to take over. Amen. Amen. It's not here to compromise. It's in here to take over. Somebody say, ain't worried about your customs. That's your problem. Amen. I'm not here to join you. I'm here to help you. Amen. If I was here to join your custom, you wouldn't need me to come. You don't need anybody to come and join you. You need somebody to come here and help you. Somebody say, glory to God. Anybody here to help you? Come in here and make a church just like everybody else to accommodate what they want to do. We're here to tell you there's a new kingdom coming. Amen. There's a new way. Amen. Here to affect it. Somebody say amen. I believe God sends different people to different places just to let them know how far they got to change. You go all the way over there. Amen. You go there and this has got to be the mentality. Amen. This is what we're here to do and you need it. Amen. Because this is exactly what God has for you. Amen. Receive it. If you don't, you're going to eat some dust. Somebody say death. Death represents death. He said, from the dust you came, and from the dust you'll return. Well, that's literally what that right. He said, I'm going to leave you unformed. And without any form, he took the dust and molded it in his hands. I mean, see, people, ministries come there to pick up dust and to breathe life into it, to water it, and to form it, and to plant seeds in it. Somebody say, amen. They look for some soil, something, because they got something within them, and they look and say, hey, I'm going to get here. I'm going to work this dust. Amen. Amen. This is some good dirt here. I'm going to work this dirt over. Amen. And he gets that dirt. He does something with it, and it brings forth fruit. But if they can't receive a seed, he said, it dust ain't no good. Leave the dust. Whatever a city needs is a move of the Holy Ghost. More so than anything. Look at, there are lots of cities around the world have lots of money, lots of prosperity. Amen. And without an anointing of God and not a ministry under the anointing. I'm not just talking about churches. Every church doesn't have an anointing. I'm serious. It's just a form of godliness that denies the power thereof. But a dangerous place to be is to be in a place where there's no move of the Holy Ghost. Every city needs a house. And I tell you what, Houston needs some more houses. It's not God's will for there to only be one house. That's dangerous. That's a mess. If the city grew, then we should grow. The church should grow. Somebody say amen. That's a pathetic shame to have one mega church in a city this size. Around the third largest city in the world and only one Holy Ghost church with members over 5,000 in it. That's a problem. God should do it again. Somebody say amen. And he said, and the dust thing is this. Listen. That it shall be even more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. You better not miss your anointing. And you better not miss your appointment. Don't miss your season. Don't miss your grace. Luke chapter 10 verse 13. Woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethesda. For if the money works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which had been done in you, they had a great while ago repented. Somebody say changed. Sitting in sackcloth and ashes, but it shall be more tolerable for Sire and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted in heaven, shall be thrust down to hell. He that heareth you heareth me. And he that despiseth you despises me. And he that despises me despises him that sent me. Hear it or despise it. Hear it or despise it on this mind. To hear it means God doesn't say, a city doesn't hear a word until it's resounded. Do you hear me? A city doesn't effectively hear a word until it's resounding. A church doesn't hear a word unless it's resounding. I mean, I can come here and preach a word. Thank God. You shouldn't go anywhere if you don't have a word to preach. If you don't got nothing to say, stay your butt at home. And you got to have something to say. And you need to continue to say that word, amen, until it is what? Sounding back to you, amen? And he said, listen, if you don't hear me, and God said, you're not hearing me until you're saying the same thing I am. You are an overcomer. And he keeps saying it until he hears you say, I'm an overcomer. I'm an overcomer. That means that person has heard that word. Somebody say, amen? If you go to a church, the pastor's talking one thing, the church talking another thing, they haven't heard. They haven't heard a word. They haven't hearkened unto the word until it is resounding. That means that the same word that the house speaks, every one of his members should be out there preaching the same word. And they don't even know. When they go to minister to their friends on the job or something like that, they'll go minister. All of a sudden, a new anointing will come on them. They don't know what that anointing is. And they're preaching twice as tough as the man preached on Sunday morning. Somebody say, resounding anointings. I mean, we need to preach the word. If they're going to receive the message of Nathan's church, the message of the Holy Ghost that he's put in the hearts of this ministry, amen, we should expect for it to be resounding in them all. Preach it until it resounds. Talk to it till it talks back to you, amen. Somebody say, and you need to do the same thing with your kids. So say, they don't hear you. They don't hear you until they're saying the same thing that you're saying. I can do better in school. I can overcome. My room should be clean. Somebody say amen. Say it. Keep saying it until it resounds. He said, have audience to be noise to brown till they hear it or till they understand it and report it. Somebody say understand it and report it. Understand it and report it. Say it one more time. Understand it and report it. What kills a ministry? What destroys a ministry and what kills a ministry? The lack of hearing. We have a responsibility. Every one of you, when you sit up under a good ministry, it will make you a minister. And as you understand it, you have a responsibility to report what you understand. You've got to preach what you've been preached. Somebody say, under, you haven't heard it until you know, you got to get it until you get it in you. Somebody say, I've been up under a good word, amen, let me help you. Somebody say, glory to God. And you should be flowing in twice as heavy as anointing than what your pastor does. God. Anybody, how many have been out preaching and ministering and you didn't even know something came over you and that anointing came on you and you were preaching a different message than what you would have preached before? Same here. Me too. Me too. Somebody say, resounding anointing. And so, if it's not resounding, this is what you got to watch out for. You're the resounders. And that's what the hope of the ministry is the resounding anointing. Amen? We've had despisers. So I say, you're either a receiver or a despiser. And you got to watch it. So you got to watch it. Watch, amen. You want to find out if somebody's with the ministry, listen to what they're preaching. Sit down and eat with them. Catch them on an off day. Go to the mall with them. Drive in a car with them and find out the verbalization that's coming out of their mouth. They're with this ministry. They'll be preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Somebody say, they'll be preaching a good message. Find out what they tell somebody when somebody's down. Amen. When they see people downhearted, if they're with this ministry, if they're a receiver of this ministry, they'll tell them, hey, joy doeth good like a medicine. They're not going to say something else. Well, I get down myself too. Or let me tell you everything that's going wrong. You can tell whether somebody's with the ministry by what they're preaching. You can tell whether somebody's with Nations Church by what they preach out of their mouth. Not by how much they say they love the pastor. Not by how much money they give. Not by how many services they attend. Amen. Somebody say, listen to what they preach. Listen what they preach. That's how you can tell whether someone's received a word. That's how you can tell when somebody knows Jesus or not, by what they preach. Do they know the Holy Ghost? Amen. Do they know Jesus? Jesus preached the Holy Ghost. And anybody that preaches against the Holy Ghost is not what? Don't know Jesus. Somebody say, they don't know Jesus. They don't know the Holy Ghost. Now, if they're preaching something else, guess what? They don't know him. He said, those that know me say the things that I'm saying. They'll have the same confession. Somebody say, no double message mess. Somebody say, double tongued. Let that church not receive anything from the Lord. Amen. Why don't you get anything from the Lord? You got a double tongued church. Some of them talking overcoming and prosperity. Other of them talking about we're heading for doomsday. Amen. You know, some of them talking about you can be filled with joy. Other ones saying all that laugh is not necessary. Double-tongued church. Now, if you're not a hearer, you're a despiser. And this, listen, this is how they despise things. To disesteem, I like that. They disesteem it. So you got to be careful about what you disesteem, because if you disesteem a thing that's of God, you disesteem God. Or neutralize. Somebody say neutralize it. That's a dangerous thing, to neutralize something. You know, you can neutralize something. How do you usually neutralize something? Water it down. Preach it watered down. You can neutralize it. Give it just a little bit, but water it down real good. Anybody like Coke, flat Coke? Anybody want to buy a flat Coke? It's a Coke that's been neutralized by being watered down with ice. I mean, don't you dare neutralize this message. Amen. You know, that'd be dangerous to the Holy Ghost. You despise the Holy Ghost when you neutralize the gospel. There's a bunch of churches neutralizing the gospel. They can't get anybody healed, so they decided to neutralize the word concerning healing. Water it down. Amen. Amen. It doesn't fit, so they water it down. Somebody say, water it down. Amen. Don't you water down this message. Oh, he wasn't really talking about it. Yes, he was. Don't you water it down. He said, you shall be healed. You shall live forever. Glory to God. Don't water it down. Amen. He said, you should shout and shout. Don't you dare water it down to make it a custom. You despise the message when you water the message down. Say it and stand on it and make it clear. Somebody say, I said it, I meant it, and I got the Holy Ghost to represent it. But the Holy Ghost won't represent anything, amen, that you water down and neutralize. It says to disesteem and neutralize, to violate. Someone say violators. There are people that there are ministry violators. Volatile ministry violators. Another word for despise means to frustrate. Don't frustrate your church. Don't frustrate your ministry. Don't, and not just your pastor. Don't frustrate those that you have to minister with. Don't minister. Don't frustrate the people you sit with. Don't frustrate the woman at the coffee bar. Amen. Don't frustrate the children's worker. Don't frustrate the singers. Amen. Don't frustrate those that sit on the front row and dance before God and lift everybody up. Somebody say, don't frustrate them. When you frustrate the things of God, amen, cause them to be frustrated over your little stupid stuff. There's a bunch of stuff that you just can get over, amen. They don't want to get over it because they want to use that thing as a weapon, amen, to frustrate the work of God. Amen. Somebody say, your frustration, what you call, when you call something to be frustrating, you mean, I'm trying, God, I just don't understand. We're just frustrated, amen. God said, listen, that frustration, is they're not despising you. They're despising what God wants to do. They're despising the word, I'll take care of it. Amen. So I said, you better not frustrate the house of God. Amen. God will give them a word and work it. He won't work it until we learn about it. Amen. Amen. When he gets ready, see, you, there are a lot of things that won't happen in ministry because the ministry is too stupid to look at the word and find out how God thinks about it. Amen. After you find out about it in the word, God will start to move on that thing. Amen. But you have to find out. You won't get healed until you find out about healing in the Word. Amen. But when you know there are certain things about ministries you won't find out until you get into the Word and find about it. Amen. Somebody say, frustrating is not of God. Amen. Now we got the Word on it, and God's going to pour the anointing on that thing and fix it. It says to frustrate it or to bring it to naught. I'm mad. I'm just not going to show up. Let them figure out when they're sitting up there by themselves. Isn't that bringing it to naught? Let me lessen the number on a Sunday morning. That'll teach them. Let me withhold my tithe. That'll show them. Amen. Let me reduce that checkbook down to about zero. That'll show them. That'll talk to them. Somebody say, bring it to naught. Do you know that's the work of the enemy? Do you know certain people, you know, if you don't agree with something, go on and run off. Don't frustrate it. You'll get in trouble. Don't frustrate it. You'll get in trouble. But you better make sure God told you to do that. You better make sure God told you to do that. But there are a lot of people that they don't understand this and they think, well, I'm just doing this. So you better be careful. You might be despising. Yeah. He said, you better take your hand off of that. If that thing be of God, you could be fighting against God. Right. They had enough sense to know that. Amen. Yeah. You better watch your mouth. Amen. God might tell him something. Amen. Better watch your mouth. Better watch your action. So to despise something means to bring it to naught. And that's a work of the enemy. That's a work of the enemy. That is a work of the devil. And people think when they get despised, he said, you will be despised and rejected of all men. So say, don't worry about it. Jesus was despised and rejected of all men. They tried to work him over. Well, they did it to Jesus. Don't you think they'll try to do it to you? While others despise, somebody say, you preach. You know how you get rid of certain devils? If there's a devil of rejection, despisers and different things, there's one way that you can handle that. You know what you do? Is you hear. You hear and resound and preach. Well, that's how you overcome it. By resounding the message and preaching it. The devil will get out of your face. Did y'all enjoy that this morning? Why don't we stand and pray in the Holy Ghost right now?